Welcome to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang, the show that focuses on the power of hope and the strength that grows up when standing on a foundation of possibility. This is Growing Hope, where we are gathering the keys for unlocking hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Catherine Lang.
Hello and welcome to Growing Hope, where we're finding our ways to grow up into our possibilities so that we can live out our promises. I am Catherine Lang and I am your resident Hope Smith because I know that with a dash of hope sprinkled in, everything becomes a little easier. Who doesn't want it to be a little easier? That's why we're always looking for the shortcut or the easy button or the magic beans. We want the benefits and the blessings, and we want them as quick and painless as possible. At least, that's the way this journey has been for me. We preferably want them without having to do anything to get them. I know, I've been there. I want something. I want to get somewhere. I want to change something. I want to be something. Sometimes I just want to maintain where I am right now, but the catch is that it's going to require I do something. Despite my want of having a fairy godmother or the magic beans to make this happen, I know that I have to take the actions that will make it happen. But knowing doesn't always mean doing. Which is why I'm thankful for you. You encourage me to get my doing done. And the thing is, if I get to my doing, then it's rarely as tough or as bad as I've made it out to be. I get so wound up in the dread of what it might be that I don't want to do because of that dread. But I try to do anyway. And when I do it anyway, it is never as bad as I've built it up to be. I think that may be one of the reasons that I try to focus on the positive and the possibilities. The more that I focus there on that possibility, the harder it is for me to let the dread get my attention. And if I give dread an inch, it will become the ruler. A clean slate or a clear slate or at least a decluttered slate will help me keep the better focus. I've seen the quotes in the images about the cluttered desk being a sign of a brilliant mind, and I would like to say that represents me, but let's be honest, it's not true. Don't fall for it. A cluttered desk or a cluttered home or a cluttered life is just another obstacle in the path of possibility. When I walk into a space that is free from clutter, then I am positioned to do anything right then and there. I always think of my kitchen when I think of the hindrance of clutter because I love to cook and I love to cook entirely from scratch. Right now, I'm in the process of even finding a way to grow my own yeast so that I can make bread and bread products completely from scratch at a whole new level. But despite my enjoyment that I get from cooking and that I get when I give my cooking away, I do not want to cook anything if the kitchen is already full of dishes. And I don't want to cook because I know the work will be required for me to even get started doing what I want to do. Now, I not only don't want to cook, but I don't want to clean. I look for something, anything to keep me away from the kitchen and away from the dishes that I so dread doing. The same has become true of my work. When I walk into an orderly space in my office, then I'm ready to get into the process of wordsmithing. When I walk into a space littered with piles because I left projects open or I've used materials and not put them back or someone else has come in and gotten into things, then I want to walk back out of the room and find something else to hold my attention. I know that in order to get anything done, I have to do the cleaning and the organizing first, and I just don't want to go there. I then begin to dread going into my office at all because I know I have to clean it up before I can get started, and I'm already behind because I put it off yesterday. Dread gets to be the ruler, and I fall further behind with each passing moment. The sad reality for me is I know that a little investment each day would not only get me to a place where my work is organized, but it would keep my work organized. Again, the little bits add up to big differences. I must keep my work tidy if I'm going to keep working, whether I'm working from home, working in the home, or working away from home. First, it's about the workspace. I confess that I am one of the world's worst about keeping a tidy desk, but I have to find a system that works for me because I know a tidy workspace matters. Next, the files. I need to put away the files, but I also need a system that keeps me able to find what I need when I need it. And then there's the online space. I need to keep my online office, the emails, the social media, just as fresh and clean as I would anything right in front of me. Or I'm going to miss something important. And then there's the schedule. The hard schedule that includes others like appointments and things like that, but also the soft schedule of what I want to accomplish that day. It all needs to be easy to understand and easy to access. And finally, expectations. I need to clear out the expectations of others, and I also need to weigh the value of my own expectations. A tidy work environment may not be the whole answer, but it definitely makes the way a little easier. When I take the time I invest in clearing up and cleaning out and organizing, then I prepare myself to make the most of all that I have and all that I am so that I am one step closer to reaching my full potential and my full promise. But if I am constantly shuffling in order to just maintain, then I'll never be in a position to move further in and further up. And the promise lies further in and further up. I need to get a tidy workspace. Anything that can give me an edge in finding and pursuing my unique way is a good thing, as long as it's legal and doesn't hurt you or hurt me in the long run. About the only things that can move me forward and cause me harm in the process are the shortcuts. So the forward progress happens, or at least it seems to happen, but it turns out it's really more of an illusion. I don't want illusions from shortcuts. I'm ready to hold tight to the promise. And if that means I have to look beyond the shortcuts, then so be it. I'm going to put in the work. And in truth, the shortcuts are usually not all that short at all, and often they're a whole lot more trouble than they are worth anyway. I drive my sons to scout camp every year up near Mentone, Alabama. If you've been to Mentone, Alabama, you know that there is no straight, easy path. You're going up a mountain, so it's going to be curvy. I wanted to get there as fast as possible and as quick as possible, and so I found what I believed to be the shortest route there. It included an S-curve that always gives me the hibby-jibbies because it is an S-curve and it's on the side of a mountain, so your imagination can run away with you. Well, last year, my older boys were passengers in a car that wrecked on that very road, so I determined to find a better way. And it turns out there is a better way on a main highway that is actually straight. There's not a whole lot of curves involved. And even what curves are involved have barriers, so they're well protected. I considered it the long way to camp. And it turned out the long way to camp was only a couple of minutes longer than the shortcut. Only the long way was safer and it was better. It was better maintained and better occupied. Shortcuts are rarely the blessing we hope they will be. It may feel like the long way, but most of the time doing the work is the easier path to follow, and always, almost always, the best way to follow. When it comes to tidying up around my work, there are no shortcuts. It has to be done. But if I want to do it, then I will have to find ways that allow me to get it done. First, I need to get my work space tidy. And yes, that does mean clearing off the desk, among other things. The easiest way to clean off the desk and to keep it clean is to put back what I use. Yesterday, I had to reload software that was acting glitchy. I went to the software drawer, took it out, used it, and promptly returned it to its home. Right? No, I didn't. Instead, I left it sitting right next to me here on the desk, just in case I needed it again. I mean, it would be too painful and exhausting and time-consuming to walk that whole 6 steps to the software drawer. I need to put things in their home, and I need to clear off my desk, and I need to clean off the other surfaces in my workspace so I have a clean area, a clean slate to start my day. Next, I need to tidy my files if I'm going to have a tidy work area. Not only does this mean I need to file away what needs to be filed away, but I need to create a filing system that lets me find everything I need. I do have file drawers, but right now the files are kind of placed randomly in the drawers. I can tell you where my most used files are located, and I may can even tell you the general location of a file. But for everything else, I'm going to have to search. I need to find or create a system that makes it as easy for me to find the lesser used files as it is for me to find the everyday files. Then I need to tackle my online space. This is a digital world, and important information arrives through the internet on a daily basis. If my online world is cluttered and confused, then the important stuff will be swallowed up by all that clutter. I need to regularly dump my emails, or even better, I need to dump them as they arrive. Either read it and act, read it and delete it, or just delete it without reading it because you know those kind of emails come to your files. The only emails I ever need to be keeping are those that I want for record purposes. The same holds true for all of my social media platforms. Use it or let it go. The next thing I need to do is tidy up my schedule. Nothing frustrates me more than to make a great plan for my day only to have it interrupted by a mix-up in schedules because something else had been a hard appointment, had been put into place where I had planned my day. I need to know where my time is allotted so that I can determine how to make the most of the rest of my day. Finally, I must tidy up the expectations. I mean, my focus folder that I use for my daily accountability and that I have given to others when I work with them, it includes a place to write down daily targets. There's only 4 lines, and there's only 4 lines for a reason, because I want the day to be hyper-focused. Too many expectations of what I can and will do leads to discouragement, because I didn't. By clearing out the expectations for my day, I make it possible to get even more done than I expected. It doesn't matter what level I am or where I'm looking at my expectations. I need to keep it simple, keep it limited, and most importantly, keep it yours. I have to let the expectations of others go because it's their expectation, not mine. Despite the promises of the internet, a cluttered workspace is not the sign of a brilliant mind. I would venture that it is a sign of a lazy spirit, and it is definitely signs of a limited possibility. And that's an ouch for me. Because I like the idea of having a brilliant mind because my desk is cluttered. I need to clear up and clear out if I want to be positioned to do more and to be more. My workspace will make a difference in me having the ability, the time, and even the focus to get done what needs to be done. I am ready to get it done, to be all that I am designed to be, but I will need courage to get there because I have to keep going. Going is the only way there. I've tried this whole waiting until it comes to me thing, and nothing happened. I have to go, and I go by doing what needs to be done, and I make a way to do what needs to be done by tidying up my work so that I'm prepared to go. it seems to me that everything I settle into as far as a topic that I'm going to share with you about, I have to encounter real life situations that emphasize the whole value of the very topic I'm sharing. As I was working through the idea of keeping work tidy, I lost valuable time from my day by looking for a note I needed to finish a task. I lost said note because I have allowed my workspace to become so piled up and cluttered that I'm lucky I can still find the keyboard. I will never get that time back, and I still haven't found the note. The scripture talks a great deal about cleanliness and how important it is to stay clean, in part because if you open the door for the dirt, then sin will probably shuffle right in through that open door as well. It wouldn't surprise me to discover that cleanliness is next to godliness didn't probably have its roots in the scripture verses about keeping clean. But as far as being tidy when it comes to work, for me, it's the words of Paul that strike the hardest. In 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him in his faith and in his pursuit of the way. In chapter 3, Paul provides a list of requirements for a bishop to be qualified or acceptable for the position in order to be able to take the office. In 1 Timothy 3:5, Paul makes this declaration. If a man is unable to rule over his own house, then how can he care for the church? I know that Paul is talking about how a man leads, but I also believe this reflects directly on my ability to be a good steward and keeping my work tidy. If I can't maintain a clean desk, then how can I expect God to trust me with the bigger things? And yet I do. And then I complain because God hasn't given me the bigger things, and there's a pile of stuff on my desk so big that if you sneeze, you won't be able to see my floor anymore. It hurts me to know that it's that plain and that in my face. And it hurts me even more that I made the statement and it's all about me. I mean, it's what I needed to hear right now in this moment. I hate when God teaches me a lesson through my words. The only thing I hate more is when he uses the words of my children to teach me the lesson. But I needed to hear it. I needed to recognize that a clean desk is not just a sign of an obsessive, compulsive mind. It is the reflection of a good steward. There are days when I think that Paul delights in stepping on my toes, and this is one of those days. Because in Colossians, Paul is sharing the importance of focus and how I need to be focused on the things above. He explains the actions I need to take to keep that focus. Then in Colossians 3:23, Paul says this, "Whatever you do, whatever task you're tackling, put your very best into it as if you're doing it directly for the Lord, in His sight, and in His presence." I need to stop right now, and I need to clean my desk, because I know my desk is not a testimony to God. I know it is not showing the best of who He has created. I would be embarrassed to have God arrive in my space right now. And the sad thing is that He is in my space right now. I do not tidy my space to impress others. I do not tidy my space just to have nothing in the way. I tidy my space because it makes the most of my space, of my resources, of my time, of me. It shows that I am a good steward over all that I have been given, and it reflects positively on the giver of that all. I make the most of who I am, and I make the way for the promised life when I make the choice to tidy up. I make the most of the gifts and the giver has provided, and I reflect positively on that giver when I choose to clear up, clear out, and create a calm and peace in my work environment. I reflect positively on God when I choose to be the best that I can be. And the best does involve tidying up my work. I want to be the best. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and the walls of this world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Remember, in all that you're doing, be blessed and be a blessing.
You have been listening to Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Join Catherine back here to unlock thoughts and ideas for growing up possibilities and giving wings to the hope for life. Visit Catherine's website, www.catherinelang.com. To learn more about her writing or to sign up to work with her, Catherine offers individual, group, and corporate coaching to jumpstart your journey to success. You can find more shared encouragement and inspiration through the Quote of the Day and the Moment of Hope broadcast. You can also find Catherine around social media to connect and engage and grow up relationships that will foster this journey of acceptance, hope, and possibility. On Facebook, look for The Catherine C. Lang. On Twitter, use at Catherine C. Lang. On YouTube, you'll find her at The Catherine C. Lang. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope, planted and nurtured, will grow up into a world of possibilities.